All right. This is Kirby Martin alongside Chike Delamore and World 496, Darian King from Barbados. And Darian was kind enough to take some time out to have a few words with us. So Chike, if you want to get things kicked off.
Well, Darian is here in Charlottesville, Virginia, playing the Men's Pro Challenger Tournament at Boar's Head. I guess really, Darian, just for people who might be listening to this, I mean, this podcast is really for tennis enthusiasts. I mean, just tell us a little bit about yourself, when you got into tennis, kind of what train you've done, and kind of what brought you to this point in your career.
Yes, my name is Darian King, as you all know. I'm 20 years old. I started tennis at the age of 8. At the Ocean View Tennis Club by former coach Sidney Lopez. Now I am with present coach Martin Blackman in the Boca Raton, Florida. It's really, I had a lot of experience, well, in juniors. Well, I played the French Open, played the US Open, played Wimbledon, became top 50 in the world, and now I'm trying to pursue my dreams being a professional tennis player.
Wow, I'm so jealous immediately just for the fact that you've had the opportunity to play on the Tier Batu in Paris. Awesome. So I'm curious about you know, tennis professionals, how much work they put in on a daily basis. Is it like a 6 day a week job? Is it a 7 day and like every day? Like how long are you hitting tennis balls? Are you in the gym? Do you cross train? Do you run? Like, if you could just give us like a snapshot of like your sort of training regimen, that would be really interesting.
Well, now I'm training into Boca Raton. We play every day. Every day you have to be playing tennis with this new coach, Martin Blackman. He's alongside, accompanied with Ricardo Acuna. And we play like 3 hours in the morning. After the 3 hours, we get lunch break. And then from there, another 3 hours, including fitness, so 2 hours and 1 hour of fitness. So every day, no Sundays break, no Saturday, no break at all. So basically, that's my training schedule.
So it sounds like almost when you're traveling, playing tournaments, you actually have a little bit of a break from your schedule.
Well, yeah. Well, my schedule is two tournaments, come back home. Well, home or back to Boca Raton. And train for another 2 weeks and then back out. So we're trying to stick to that training schedule. Hopefully I get accompanied by like a sponsorship or anyone that can really help me out.
I guess up to this point, I mean, just for like your typical tennis enthusiast who obviously sees like the big, let's say, top 50 players on their telly week by week, I mean, at this point in your career, what would you say has been like the biggest name that you've had a chance to play against? Whether it be someone who's currently highly ranked or someone who was but is now kind of working their way back up.
I have played a lot of top tournaments, Commonwealth Games, Caribbean and Central Games. I played Peter Luzat, a guy from Australia, who's ranked, I think, top 50 in the world. And I lost 6-4, 6-4. Great experience for me. I talked to him after and stuff. He gave me some good encouraging words and stuff, so that really kept me going.
To that point, I'm curious because I know some tennis players are blessed from being from the same country as, you know, a top pro. Like I know, was it Juan Carlos Ferrero helping out Rafa? And certainly, I'm sure Djokovic has given like some tutelage or something to Tipsarevic and on Wawrinka. So who is there somebody like that, you know, for you, you know, be it from the Caribbean or not, that has sort of like taken you under their wing and, or, you know, helped you out in some way?
Well, this guy that I'm working with now, Martin Blackman, he's from Barbados. He's a former top 100 player, or I should say top 110 or something like that. So he's really taken this duty to take me on and really to help me out to be the best I can be right now at this moment.
If there was someone out there who's, let's say, a younger tennis player still in high school who wants to get to that next level, what would you say is the the biggest piece of advice that you could give them for just someone who, say, plays tennis, say, 4 or 5 days a week, maybe on those days plays for like 2 or 3 hours, does some a little bit of cross training, some fitness, some strength training, but they haven't yet, they're trying to get to college tennis level, but they have the dreams of kind of one day being on tour. I mean, what kind of advice would you give to someone like that?
My advice would be adhere to your coach's teachings, because out there you can't do it alone. Tennis is really, it's individual, like when you're on the court, but you need a team really around you to really support you all the way. And that really boosts your confidence and stuff on the court. So it helps. So it's like 4 against 1 once your team is there. So I really, my suggestion is teamwork, really. That's the biggest thing for me.
I guess my next question for you would be more about, I've watched you play, in qualifying, and you are, as I've mentioned to you, a very, very fast mover. At least top 10% of movers at this Challenger tournament. I've seen that you've had a lot of success at the Futures tournament level. What areas of your game do you think you need to work on, or at least fine-tune, to achieve the same success at a Challenger level, and even the level beyond that, the ATP Pro Tour level?
I think physically I'm great. I've been doing a lot of fitness. The thing I think I have to work on more is mostly mental. Tennis is really a mental game, is because you have to be out there willing to put 110% in every point and not giving up and stuff. So I think really my technique, my game, my serve, my whatever, I think is good, but that can also improve. But mainly I think it's all in the head, and tennis is really a mental sport, so that's one thing you have to really step up on.
And so to that end, how do you improve mentally on the court? I mean, obviously this is a struggle that every single tennis player in the entire world has, some more than others. And it definitely seems like the people who conquer it, the people who are in control of the mental game, are the best players in the world. So how do you improve that aspect of your game? What do you do to make improvements?
Mainly one main thing is like breathing. Breathing like during after points, and like exhaling through the shot, breathing in like after the tough points and stuff, and willing to settle when like a long point is going on. You want to get mad, but you have to like turn around and focus on the strings or something, a ritual that you do really that can really help you to get back your thoughts and stuff together for the next point. So I think that's big.
You may have already answered this question, but I had this one in the bag, and I thought it'd be an interesting question to ask. If you could be the best in the world at one of the following, which one would you choose? Having the best forehand in the world, having the best backhand in the world, having the best serve in the world, being the speediest or best defensive player in the world, or having the best mental game?
I think mental. I would really be looking at mental, really. Because as you can see, David Ferrer, number 5 in the world, doesn't have the greatest strokes in the whole of tennis, but you can see that guy is ready to run for a whole day and stuff, and he's ready to put in 110% at every point, and he's always focused. Nothing really distracts him. So I really looked after, like, my idol, really, for that is David Ferrer.
For just like the typical tennis fan, I mean, who out there have you met? Maybe not had a chance to play against, but have you met at these large tournaments that probably, and even spoken to if possible, and probably just kind of left you feeling like that was like an amazing individual I just met? I mean, are there any male or female top tennis players right now that you've just had a chance to meet who've really left you with a good impression?
I meet various people. A lot of people I met, Pete Sampras, I met Tommy Haas, met Sam Querrey, met Sloane Stephens, met Don Leong, met all the players. To me, I think all of them are nice people. They always, well, when it's like me speaking to Donald, we met, it seems like we know each other for a very long time. We laugh, we talk, we eat together.
So this is sort of a random question, but I'm interested in your opinion. If you had to buy stock in one female American tennis player coming up, which one would you buy stock in?
I would say Sloane Stephens. I practice with her, and she has a great game. She's mentally good. She's physically, you can see she's good. I really believe in her. I know her as a great friend, and she always encourages me. I always encourage her. So I think that both of us suit each other, like meaning practice-wise, meaning when she goes out to matches, she knows that I'm there watching, and she knows that I know that she's watching me. So I think that we like a team.
Is there a lot of that sort of camaraderie on the tour? I'm always interested in the dynamics, like in the locker room. I mean, these are people who, you want to beat their brains out on the tennis court, but you're in the locker room, like, you know, right next to them, and, you know, you're traveling, you're going to all the same spots week after week. So, you know, is it more, and it probably varies person to person, but in general, is it more camaraderie that we're all in this together, or is it more competitive?
I would think both. Around there, because if you have to play the same person, you put the friendship aside and you go and you try to beat the person. But off the court is different than on the court. So off the court, the people are very nice to you. They want to hang out because obviously you don't want to be alone by yourself and you want to have fun and stuff. So everything is not serious as about on the tennis court. Off the court is very important too. I think it's more important than on the court actually, because you have a lot of fun. You take your mind off of certain things, and I think that really helps you.
And this is obviously a tough question to ask on the spot, but what would you say has been your most memorable experience as a tennis player? I know you've played Davis Cup for Barbados. Obviously, you've been to like French Open Juniors, Wimbledon, U.S. Open. I mean, what to you stands out as kind of the most memorable experience of your career to this point?
Me winning two futures in a row. In Mexico, Manzanillo. That was recently. I had really trained very hard for it, and I really wanted the title, really. I've lost to some people that were in the same tournament that I just put aside the friendship and was like, this time I think I'm ready to take this title, and I think that was my most memorable thing. That, maybe the Olympics, I played Olympics. I won the consolation. That's pretty big. So my mom and stuff, everyone coming to U.S. Open and French Open. So I have a lot of things I can talk about. But
of those three tournaments, Wimbledon, the French, and U.S. Open, which is your favorite to play at? And also, what's your favorite surface?
My favorite surface is hard court, which is preferably U.S. Open, but I did well first time on grass. I did well at the Wimbledon. I lost to the number four seed, 7-5 or 7-5 in the third. It was a long match, tough match. But to me, I think I really played exceptionally well there. So I think that would be, and I did well in doubles. I got to quarterfinals in doubles. So I think that was my best tournament there.
Another thing that I'm really intensely curious about, and I don't know very much about, you know, the day-to-day life of touring professionals, especially like from about maybe 200 in the world to 800 in the world. I know that there's a lot of travel involved, and I know that the travel's got to be expensive. How does it normally work? Do players start to get sponsors, and are the sponsors individuals? Are they companies? Are they tennis companies? Like, if you could just like illuminate a little bit about that for us, it'd be awesome.
For me in particular, Prince is trying to help me out with equipment. Now I changed from K-Swiss because I was top 15 juniors now to Top Spin, who's really now trying to help me out. But I'm not getting paid, but like the others, like Sam Dev and maybe Dennis Coulin, those guys are getting paid to like use the rackets, use the gear and stuff like that. So I think that helps them out. But people like, who is that, Sam Dev?
Yeah.
Maybe Sam Dev India helps him out. I would think so. India really takes care of like the sportsman stuff, the sports industry. So I think they really help out like the players and stuff. But I think those people help them out to like travel and stuff. So all their expenses and stuff are are covered and stuff, so they don't really have anything to worry about.
So what ranking do you need to get to in order for people to start helping you out like that?
I think when you're coming out as a promising junior, doing well in like Taro Daniel, mm-hmm. who's currently maybe like 350 in the world, something like around there. People like him, there are people who look at to assist him, to help him out. But I think generally around 200, around in the 200 zone, I think people really start to look at you and want to invest in you and stuff like that.
So if you could very closely pattern your game after any pro, in, you know, including everything, all aspects of the game, which pro would you choose to sort of emulate?
I would say Joe Wilfred Tsonga. He's powerful, he's athletic, he's fit. I think I like to watch him. He's enjoyable to watch. Favorite for me, I think.
Yeah, I can't argue with that, man. Joe Willie gets it done so well. The only chink I see in his armor at whatever world number 7 or 8, yeah, is he takes a few games off in a row. He loves to like take a set off, you know, take a match off the U.S. Open this year. What he got bounced in the first round?
Yeah, Martin Clizon.
Yeah, it just takes like, and that was it. That's a huge match. It's the first round of the U.S. Open. So that's one thing I've noticed in Joe Willie's game that definitely needs to improve. So to that end, and I know like when I play, it's tough. It's tough to keep the hammer on. So what do you do when you're playing a match and you're up and you're doing well? What do you do to stay focused and to not take games off?
I would think keep bouncing, keep jumping around, run down every ball, because as you know, tennis is a moving sport. So as soon as your opponent sees you start running, obviously he knows that that's a big weakness of you. So I think run down every ball and keep jumping around, hopping around, whatever, just to keep focus. That's what you have to do. You have to do it.
All right. Well, why don't you tell us your name on Twitter so people who are listening to this can follow you.
DarianKing_20.
Okay, it's DarianKing_20. Darian, DARIAN, King, KING, _2 and 0, and that's on Twitter. So you can follow Darian, follow all of his exploits, all the different like 15 plus tournaments he goes to and travels to throughout North America, like Mexico, U.S., Canada, throughout the year. He hopes to be doing the same thing next season. So he's at his highest ranking, and we definitely wish him all the best in the future, and hopefully he can keep climbing. He's a top player from Barbados, and I'll definitely like to see him climb as high as possible.
And the reason why he would is that Chike is also from the island of Barbados.
Born and raised.
So, and I know there's a lot of speed in this room because I hit tennis balls pretty frequently with Chike, and he's blazes on the court. And I haven't seen Darian, but I'm assuming he's got a step or two on Chike even. So there's a lot of speed coming from Barbados from what I've seen. But awesome. Thank you so much, Darian, for hanging out with us and talking some tennis. It was a great pleasure.
Thank you very much, everyone.